Well, have you ever made a poor choice because of the influence of a friend? Listen, when I was in college, my roommates and I were broke. And my roommates would always come up. They were obsessed with this idea of getting rich quick, of coming up with any way or means to make money that didn't involve anything like hard work or getting a job. And so they would always come up with these crazy ideas that never seemed to pan out. And I remember one day, one of our roommates came up to us and he says, "Guys, I figured it out. I know how we're going to make some money." He said, "We are going to become secret shoppers." And we all laughed at him. And he said, "No, for real. This is legit. It's a real thing." He says, "There is a website that you can go to. And you put your profile, you make a profile, you put your picture up there, you describe yourself and who you are." And he says, "And then companies will go and they will pick out people that they want shopping in their stores and they want feedback from." And he said, "And they will pay us to shop in their stores. It's that simple." I remember thinking, this sounds a little sketchy and not quite right. But as I looked around, my roommates were so excited. They were nodding their heads. And I thought, well, I guess I'm in too. And so eventually I went on and I made my profile. And the last step in the process was a phone call with this company. And while I was on the phone, they asked me additional questions, and then they kind of finished it out. And they said, "Okay, we basically have everything we need from you." They said, "Sir, really the last thing we need from you is we just need your credit card number so that we can pay you when the time comes." And I remember thinking, that sounds a little weird. I don't know. I said, "Hold on." And I was like, "I need to find somebody to run this decision by." And so I was like, "Who do I need to talk to?" And so I was going to go ask one of my roommates what they think I should do in this moment. And so I remember getting up from my room and running out to my living room to find one of them. And as I got to my living room to ask, "What should I do in this moment?" I rounded the corner and I saw one of my other roommates on the phone with his person. And as I saw him, he was sitting there already reading out his credit card number to this person. And immediately I recognized, this is so dumb. This is a bad idea. And so I immediately hung up the phone and I just knew this was not going to end well. And he would eventually go on to get scammed. Poor him. But the reason I tell you that embarrassing and silly story this morning is because it sets up our verse today so perfectly. And our verse today is a verse that has proved itself to be constantly true in my life. And it's a verse that I wish I would have understood and grasped many years earlier. And our verse today is Proverbs 13:20, and here's what it says. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." This verse is incredibly true. And it uses the phrase and the idea of walk, those who walk with the wise. And that phrase is used in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's synonymous with the phrase we would use today of live. If you live with those who are wise, you will become wise. And it's more than just who lives in your house. It's who do you walk through life with? Who are the people you surround yourself with? And it's both a promise and a warning that the people you choose to surround yourself with will affect your life. Over the last 13 years of doing student ministry, I've seen so clearly that one of the most influential catalysts that will influence a student's choices, their happiness, their success, everything, is their friends, the people that they choose to surround themselves with. And that truth is also the same for you and me. In my own life, I can think back to the periods of greatest growth. And as I think back to the periods of greatest growth, both personal and spiritual, I can trace it back to a core group of friends that I had who were right there beside me growing as well. And yet the same is true for some of our biggest mistakes and regrets in life. Think about it. Some of our worst mistakes happen because of the people we surround ourselves with. Listen, every elementary school has that one kid who knows all the dirty words before they're 8. And when I was in the 4th grade, I learned a particular word from a friend of mine, and I made the mistake of repeating that word in front of my parents. It's a bad idea. And I couldn't taste anything but soap for a week. And I didn't know you could actually exfoliate your tongue. But I would have never thought or had the courage to on my own. cheat on a test or egg someone's house or paint a rival school's football field if it weren't for my friends who were right there alongside me the whole time encouraging me to do so. We are influenced by the people around us, and many times that influence can be much more serious. Many of us learned our worst habits or addictions because of the people that we surrounded ourselves with. And it set us on a trajectory that we now have to deal with and live with. But the truth is, God created us for community. That's how you and I are wired, that we're meant to want to have relationships and friendships with other people, and we're meant to influence one another. That is just how we are wired. Another way to think of it is this, and if you're taking notes, feel free to write this down. It's that our friendships influence the quality and the direction of our lives. Good or bad, we will truly be affected and eventually look like the people around us. And this is how God wired us. And so my question for you this morning is this: who do you walk with? Who are you walking through life with? Who are those people that are influencing you? Who is influencing the quality and the direction of your life? To help us better understand this, I want to share with you the story of the man who wrote that verse that we just read. And this story is found this morning in 1 Kings chapter 10. And so if you have a Bible this morning, feel free with me to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10 in the Old Testament. Feel free to use your table of contents. It can be a difficult book to find. But we'll also put the words up on the screen this morning for you to follow along. But I want you to know that most of the book of Proverbs was written by a man named King Solomon, who was the son of King David, who you may have heard of. And as we will see in a moment, God blessed Solomon in some incredible ways. Look at what it says in verse 23. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. Early in Solomon's life, he was given a choice to have anything he wanted. And instead of asking for more money or more power, he asked God for more wisdom. And so God blessed him with great wisdom. In the writings that we see, he has great wisdom and insight, but ironically, at the end of his life, he ends it in sadness because he fails to follow his own advice, and really the advice that was given by God. In one area that he disregarded God's wisdom was through marriage. You see, in those times, you would make peace between nations through marriage. Royalty from one nation would marry royalty from another, and then they would be at peace. And because King Solomon was so powerful, he had many opportunities for marriage because many nations wanted to be at peace with the nation of Israel. And so things begin to unravel in chapter 11. Look at what it says in verse 1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter: Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. These are all different groups of people. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. God knew the influence that relationships have on us, specifically romantic relationships in his context. God warned him of what would happen if he surrounded himself with people who were following other gods, that they would affect and influence his life. And the same warning is true for us. Even though today's message isn't about marriage or dating, the principle there is still true for all of us and in all of our relationships. Look at what happens next in verse 4. It says, "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done." You see, Solomon had wives from all around the world, and they brought with them their own religions and their own gods. And even though Solomon didn't think that his life would end this way, even though God had given him this warning, we see that it goes awry, and his heart was turned towards these other gods. And these relationships and this influence ultimately changed the direction and the course of his life and his faith. And just like that, we see the wisest man who ever lived made incredibly foolish choices. The man who knew better and wrote what we just read in Proverbs 13:20. So let's look at the verse again. Look at the first part, the promise. Here's what he wrote. Walk with the wise and become wise. This is a reminder from God. And the truth here is that you become like the people that you walk with. And that wisdom is contagious. So you and I are called to walk with wise people. Listen, you are walking with someone or a group of people. And so who are you walking with? Who are those people you are allowing to influence you? The truth is we all walk with people, and yet God is commanding us and reminding us that we're called to filter these people and allow those who are wise to be closest to us. This can be easier said than done, so how do you do it? Well, I'll never forget, some of the best advice I ever received when I was a younger man was this. Someone told me, they said, spend time with the type of people you want to become. Spend time with the type of people you want to become. And it was a simple exercise. They wanted me to think about who did I want to be in 5, 10, 25 years. The type of person I wanted to be, the type of character I wanted to have, the type of reputation. And then he said, go and find people who are that. Run to them. Spend time with them. Ask them to speak into your life. Learn from them and walk with them. And then if I didn't know anybody who was those things, then to run as quickly as possible to places where I could identify them, like a local church or a small group. And the same is true for you. Who do you want to be in 5, 10, 25 years? What type of person, what type of character, reputation, legacy do you want to have and to leave? Who are the people in your life who are those things? Spend time with them. Get to know them. Ask them questions. Invite them to speak into your life. Walk with them. Or spend time in environments where you can identify and form those relationships. This morning, if you can identify that you don't know anyone who is wise, who is the description of what Solomon just wrote, then go and find it. This is a great starting place, this church. And if you can identify you don't know anyone who is wise, I want to challenge you, and maybe your next step is to get involved in a small group. They start next week. These small groups are filled with godly people who are far from perfect, but they are wise. They are the perfect description of what God is telling us here. Get involved. Sign up. Step out and meet new people and just form new relationships. Maybe you need to hit reset this morning, but that's a great way to find them. Our guide marks, which is just our plan for personal spiritual growth, the I in guide stands for investing in accountable relationships. This is what that means. It's not about just forming new friendships and a lot of them and just growing a number on Facebook. It's about investing in a few relationships intentionally and allowing them to shape us, to form us, giving this person freedom to invest in me and grow me as a follower of Jesus. And so the promise is that we will grow in wisdom if we walk with those who are wise, but there's also a warning in this verse. So let's go back and look at the second part of it. Here's what it says. For a companion of fools suffers harm. The warning here is that if we choose to surround ourselves with those who make foolish choices, we will suffer eventually. And honestly, it doesn't take much to influence us in the wrong direction. Because of our broken human nature, I think many times we find it easier that it's just easier to do bad than it is to do good. Because of our broken human nature, think about it. My broken human nature comes out most when I'm driving. And I don't know about you, I'm probably the only one in the room, but when I'm driving, it is so much easier for me just to lay on my horn and get upset and frustrated than say, and choosing to say, God, I'm gonna just forgive that person for cutting me off right now. I'm just gonna forgive that person for driving 15 miles under the speed limit on a two-lane highway. It is so much easier to do that. And I know I'm the only one here that struggles with that. But we all know it's so much easier just to raise our voice and get frustrated than to see the other side of someone's argument. It's so much easier to fight to justify a bad decision than to own up to a mistake and apologize. Many times it's easier just to go with the flow than to stand up and say something that you think may be wrong. We are easily influenced. And because we can be so easily influenced, another part of Proverbs reminds us that we are called to protect ourselves. Look at what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's a reminder that we are called to pay attention to what's influencing us, because what affects our heart will affect every aspect of our life, and everything we do will flow from it, and so protect it. Guard our hearts and flee from those influences that negatively affect us, and run from those who make foolish choices. Another way to think about it is this. You're called to distance yourself from bad idea friends. Listen, we have all had bad idea friends. And if you can't think of one right now, then you probably are it. I, at one point, was the bad idea friend. But we, as followers of Jesus, are called to run from these types of influences. And I want to be clear here. As followers of Jesus, we're called to love and reach the world. But at the same time, we're called to protect our inner circles. We're called to protect our hearts and those who have the most amount of influence over us. And so there is a balance there, and it takes wisdom. We're not called to abandon the world and hide and just hang out with each other, but we are called to protect those who influence us the most. And here's why. A wise person understands that everything is connected. That what I choose to do today will affect tomorrow and will affect my future. That what I do in one area of my life will affect other areas of my life. A wise person makes choices today and in the moment based on long-term goals and principles. But a foolish person does not. A foolish person does not understand that things are connected. For them, their decisions won't have any consequences. They even may know the difference between right and wrong, but they don't care. The Bible tells us that to argue with a fool is useless. It's impossible to reason with them, that they're not thinking about the end result and they don't care. When you ask them, "Don't you know where this is going? Don't you know where this is going to lead? Doesn't that bother you? Don't you know that if you continue to do this, it will destroy your marriage? It will destroy your health. It will destroy your life." But they don't care. It's impossible to reason. And many times we defend unhealthy relationships. We justify them by saying things like, and I hear this all the time, "I'll go with them, but I won't do anything. I'm just with them, but I'm not doing what they're doing." And we try and justify our proximity to these bad idea friends. We say things like, "I'll never do what they do. I'll never think the way that they think. I'll never participate in the things that they participate in. So therefore, I am safe." And yet Solomon will tell us, and really God will remind us, that we are dead wrong. Catch this. His warning is not that you will become a fool. His warning is that you will suffer consequences because of your proximity to those who make foolish choices. You may not become a fool. You may not disregard your principles or forget right from wrong, but you may suffer because of those you've allowed into your inner circle. Several weeks ago, Randy shared that one of his greatest fears and sources of anxiety was as a parent, thinking about his kid's future and the things that he could not control and he just had to trust God with. And I want you to know that's exactly the same fear that I have. My fear as a parent is not that my kids will grow up to be fools. The Bible says that a fool is someone who says there is no God. My fear is not that they will become fools. My fear is that when they grow older, they will allow those who make foolish choices to influence them. And by their proximity to them, they will suffer because of it. It's my concern for your kids who I minister to, that not that they will become fools, but that they will allow those who make foolish choices near them, and that their choices will ultimately affect them. And really, it's my concern for all of you. So maybe this morning, maybe someone's face or name is coming to mind. It may be time to distance yourself from some of those friends. And I know that this can be difficult, but ultimately it is for your good, God is reminding us. Maybe for you this morning, maybe God's putting a next step on your heart. And maybe he wants you to make a decision. And maybe your decision is to spend significantly less time with someone. It may mean moving someone from your inner circle to your outer circle, where you can still see them, participate in their life, but they don't have massive amounts of influence on your day, your life, and your decisions, and your choices. It may mean only seeing that person in a particular setting or with another group of people around. Or for some of you, it may mean ending a friendship or a relationship. You may have some work to do, and God may put some next steps on your heart, and I know it can be hard, but it is for your good. And moving forward, the best way to set ourselves up to succeed, the best way to create healthy relationships and guard against that foolish influence in our lives is this. We're called to set up relational guardrails. Here's what I mean by that. The idea of a guardrail is that it's placed on a dangerous part of the road. And a guardrail is never placed in the hazard. A guardrail is there to keep you and to stop you before you get into the dangerous area. It's there to protect you and remind you and stop you before you get there. And it's important for us to set up relational guardrails in our lives so that we don't drift off and allow foolish influences to change the direction and the quality of our lives. So here are some guardrails to think through as you form relationships and friendships. Feel free to write these down. Here's how you may know this person or group may be a bad influence. When you catch yourself pretending to be someone other than yourself. When you feel pressure to compromise. When wise people in your life question your friendships. When you hope the people that you care about don't find out where you've been, what you've been doing, or who you've been with. Or if you engage in activities that you previously considered to be off limits. If any of your relationships check any of these boxes, it may be time to move that relationship out of your life. Guardrails are important for us to have in every area of our life, and especially our relationships and those who we choose to walk with. Ultimately, the heart of the verse that we read today all boils down to this, that you and I are called to pay attention to who is influencing you. The last thing I want you to know is that King Solomon, who wrote most of the book of Proverbs, he wrote these words of wisdom to his son. And really, it was God who inspired him and God who is writing those words to you today. And so I want you to know that as you read those words this morning and hear them, as you hear, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm, as you hear that, I just want you to know this morning that the God that's writing that to you is not a mean, unloving, angry God. He's a God who is a loving father. And he's writing that to you because he wants to see you grow. He wants to see you thrive. He wants you to live a peace-filled life free from anxiety and worry. And because of that, he's reminding us that one of the most important factors in accomplishing that life is by choosing wisely the people we surround ourselves with. So I want to do something a little different this morning. I just want to give you a moment. And I want you to take a second, and I want you right now just to think of three people. Who are the three people in your life who are influencing you most right now, today? And I want you to be honest with yourself. Who are those three people? Think of their names. Think of their faces. Write down their names if it helps. But who are those people? And then I want you to think about, is that a wise influence or is it a foolish influence? Which direction are they taking you? Is it one that God would want you to lean into more? Or is it one that God may be calling you to put distance? Who are those three people that you live life with, that you walk with? The next thing I want you to do is I want you to think about, what are two outside sources that influence you? Listen, we can all be influenced by things like a news source, a paper, a podcast, a show. We can be influenced by the music that we listen to or the things that we choose to watch on our phones. And really, at the core of it, all of those things are, there's people behind it. Those people may influence your life as well. You may not live with them or see them every day, but they have influence in your life. And so who are two outside people that have influence in your life and affect the way you think and the way you make decisions? And the last thing I want to do is I want to just lead us in prayer. And I want to guide you to pray for yourself, to lead you to the same Father who writes these loving words to you today. And so if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to just lead you to pray for yourself. And you can do so silently. But the first thing I want you to do is I want you just to ask God to help you to see who are the people that influence you most in life, and to be honest with yourself. And so just ask God, who are those three people I do life with, and who are those two people that are outside sources that affect me? So just take a second and ask God. The next thing I want you to do is I just want you to ask God for clarity. Ask God to show you if this is a good influence or if it's a bad one. And to be honest, and then to ask God what your next step may be. Is it one he wants you to lean into, or is it one that he wants you to just put some distance or to step away from? So ask God to show you, to give you wisdom. Finally, I want you to ask God for courage. I want you to ask God for courage to help you to take this step. Whether it's leaning in and going up to somebody and saying, would you walk with me? Would you speak into my life? Can I talk to you about something? Or the courage to have a difficult conversation, or to step away, or to see someone less. Right now, just pray and ask God to give you the courage to do what he puts on your heart. Father, thank you for that reminder this morning. God, that is so true and will continue to be true for the rest of our lives. God, help us to filter and help us to see who are the people that truly affect us. God, help us to do what's hard. And help us to walk with wise people and to pick and choose wisely. Father, we also pray for courage to do the things you're putting on our hearts. God, to walk across the room and start a conversation, to walk across the room and sign up to be in a group or to get involved or to meet new people, or God, to step away. God, ultimately help us to understand how to do this. God, which people we still need to be friends with and love and minister, God, but to not put in our inner circle. Father, give us the wisdom and give us the courage. God, we love you. Walk with us this week, God, as we walk with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.